Shapeshifters.
Shapeshifters brought to you by 10X Investments. Choose 10X because you shouldn't settle for 40% less at retirement. Visit 10x.co.za today and hashtag stop daylight robbery. Andy Reid is in studio. Who's Andy Reid? He's the founder of the Vespa business in South Africa. What is it about Vespa? Why is the Vespa so cool? There's scores of scooters. There are brands of models to choose from. But what cool city slicker would not want a Vespa? Hey,
yep.
Andy?
Yep. Thanks, Bruce.
I mean, do you have 12? Are you a collector of these things?
I only have Vespas, absolutely no cars. But the problem is all my friends buy my collector's one. They bug me and they eventually grab it from me.
So they are collectible Vespas?
They're very much so, yeah. And the resale value and the vintage value of Vespas is tremendous.
Now, the first one was made in Italy.
1946. Just after the war. So to mobilize the Italians, Enrico Piaggio was given the task to have an affordable transport where you could not see the engine from the outside, because in these days all the oil used to spit up in your clothes. So that's where the monocoque chassis came, and it covers the engine. But they also had a step-through model. That's the definition of a scooter, when you can put your knees together and you can wear... That's why ladies can ride scooters as well.
Well, ladies can ride motorbikes, but they...
But they'd have to wear trousers.
Not in a frock.
Yes, 100%. Yes.
But you can ride a Vespa in a frock.
Yes.
If you choose to.
Yeah, high heels. If you go to Italy, Rome, all these cities, you see beautiful women.
What is it about Vespa that... makes them cool? I mean, the brand is quintessentially Italian. It's about lifestyle. It's a lifestyle asset almost.
Yeah. Number one brand value around the world is romance. Mm. And it comes up every time. Boy gets girl, girl gets boy. It's something you want to park. It's Dolce Vita. But
the first Vespas were cheap. I mean, they were like the VW Beetles of the
Correct.
Day. I mean, there was nothing. They were workhorses. They were practical instruments of transport.
Yes.
A bit like a tuk-tuk might be today.
Yes. And it's evolved. Now you can plug in USB player. It's amazing. ABS braking systems. The technology is amazing. But they're still all made of metal. That's the distinguishing factor. They're not made of plastic.
Okay, we'll get on to Vespa in just a moment. I'm just really interested in how you got here, because that accent comes from Scotland.
100% from Bonnie Glasgow.
From Glasgow.
Yes.
Okay, when did you get here?
When I was 21, I just finished my electronic apprenticeship and had a job with Altec in sunny Boksburg. Stayed in Berea and loved South Africa from day one.
And so you just forgot to go back to Glasgow?
Yeah, eventually, yeah.
What got you then out of electronic engineering into Vespas? Was there a gap
I was a pretty poor technician.
Okay.
And it wasn't my passion.
And the Fenters would have told you.
Yeah. And I wanted to do something for myself. So prior to that, I started a business with a Swiss colleague, and we imported chemical analysis equipment from Switzerland. And I sold that business to MacMed. It was one of the biggest liquidations at the time. I was very fortunate that I'd been paid out. And I then bought it back from the liquidation and sold again to the Ellerine brothers. And did a management buyout. So I retired stupidly at the age of 40. And I tried to buy a Vespa as a little gift for myself, and I got so frustrated.
Why? What was so difficult about it?
There was no agents. There was no shops.
You tried to buy a Vespa?
For myself in South Africa.
Okay, you didn't try to buy it. No. You weren't like Jeff Bezos, who was told to pick up a copy of the New York Times,
yeah.
and he bought the entire company. Yeah. Was it the New York Times?
But I literally got invited across in the plane, and before I knew it, started Vespa South Africa, retail shops.
But what's it take to get that exclusive licensing agreement? Because this is a global brand.
Yes.
There were Vespas in South Africa. They must have been imported by individuals at the time.
Correct.
Before you brought Vespa in, how did you secure
the deal? Big checkbook, commit to minimum numbers, put in infrastructure, and they'll give you a sole agency.
Okay.
A distribution agreement.
What year was that?
That was 2001.
So 2001, you open up the first Vespa dealership in South Africa.
Six all at once.
Did you do six at once?
Oh, yeah.
And you thought to yourself, this isn't what retirement was all about?
Oh, it was humbling experience going from business to business back into retail.
I'm sure. Where were the six? Are they still in the same places?
More or less. We've moved around. Three in Johannesburg, two in Cape Town, two in Durban now. So we've tried various. We've tried Pretoria, which we need to go back into now. But you're as good as your shopkeepers and your store managers.
But do you own the stores?
Yes.
You haven't got a franchise arrangement
at all? We have a dealership model working very well in Durban. And we're attempting to roll it out up in Johannesburg. But we have to sell off all three shops at once because you don't want to compete with each other.
No. How many Vespas do you have to sell to make a living? Because I know they're expensive nowadays. I mean, the tech makes them expensive, yeah. So the margins are probably pretty good.
Yeah.
But you got to sell a lot of Vespas to justify.
Yeah, there are, you sell between 60 to 80 per month across
that
all the
many?
Across all the shops. Yeah. We've also got a delivery option as well.
A delivery option?
We equip Lancet Laboratories with all their delivery bikes.
Have they got Vespas?
Yeah. So it's amazing enough, the Vespa is the cheapest delivery bike on the market if you consider total life cost and resale value and moving parts.
Explain.
People just look at the initial purchase price and don't look at downtime and longevity of product. So when the cheaper Chinese products come into the market, people never asked what was your expectation, how long they would last. These bikes lasted 5,000-10,000 kilometers and you'd have to buy a new one. So a Vespa will go for 100,000 kilometers. And because automatic ones have got no gearbox, far less moving parts, the maintenance profile on these bikes are very low.
Do you do it like Porsche does in terms of having your own your own workshops, your own maintenance?
100%, yeah, everything. It's very similar to the Porsche model, yeah.
Andy Reid, the founder of Vespa South Africa, he arrived from Scotland in 1981, lost his passport and decided to stay. Got annoyed one day when he tried to buy a Vespa and there was no one to sell him one. So he bought the company. He brought Vespa to South Africa. More with him in a moment. Anything Vespa related or motorbike related, if you want to shout at him, because Vespas aren't real motorbikes. Like somebody sent me a message earlier, which I'll share with you in a moment, eliminating the swear words, I'm afraid.
Show Shapeshifters.
This is The Money Show. I'm Bruce Whitfield. Andy Reid, the founder of Vespa South Africa, electrical engineer by training, made some decent money out of businesses that he started and sold and bought and sold, and then decided to get Vespa into South Africa. What's the starting price? What's a bog standard Vespa nowadays?
Currently about 80,000 for a 150, and they got up to 130,000.
130,000 yep. For two little wheels,
yes.
And an engine. How big? So 150 is 150 a standard?
That's a standard city car. Bike, yeah. Which you can take on the highway if you wish. But the 300s are more hybrid motorbikes, so you can sit at 120. It's an excellent
120 kilometers an hour on a scooter.
Yes, but you're defining a scooter as a...
No, I'm getting through. I'm doing the calculations in my head. My knees are together. I can get the idea. I wouldn't want to ride a motorbike at high speed anyway because I'm chicken. But I get the idea of riding an 800cc motorbike with my legs spread and my face pressed against the fuel tank. Yes. I get that. But the little wheels on a scooter at 120 kilometers an hour scare the living daylights.
You have the same amount of rubber on the ground at any one time.
No, but it's just for some reason I've got a block against it. I must just read you a little bit of scooter hate mail, if I may, and I will give you a chance to respond. On the Vespa discussion, it's not a real motorbike. Then I'm not going to read the rest. That thing does 0 to 100 kilometers an hour in a week. There should be a law against them wearing leathers, the people who ride them. They don't even have tattoos.
Well,
that's somebody who cares about motorbikes a lot.
I'd love to invite you to our, every Friday we have breakfast runs and you meet lawyers, doctors, artists with tattoos, all wearing leathers. And it's an amazing club of guys that come together.
But this person is in investments and they do say, seriously though, because he understands the joy of the Vespa. Yeah. If you can get one of those built in Italy from the 1960s, they're worth some decent money. So the collectability of the Vespa, tell me how that works.
There's no year model to a Vespa per se. There's not they're so long lasting, and there's not a traditional built-in obsolescence. A good example of that is if you were to come and buy a second-hand or demo, you never ask for the year model. You look at the condition of the bike, you ride it, you buy it. So the classic car companies and banks, 5 years, 100,000 Ks, oh my God, you have to sell it. It's going to blow up.
Yeah.
To me, it's a conspiracy by banks and car companies. So a Vespa, it just goes on and on. It's like the Volkswagen Beetle. It's very simple to fix.
But is that simplicity still part of the engineering of the Vespa?
Look, the technology under the engine is amazing. Emission controls and electronic timing and everything. It's fantastic. There's fuel injection. So the technology is vastly improved. But the construction and the simplicity of driving it, it's automatic twist and go. You've got two brakes. It's like riding a bicycle. But you've got the power and comfort.
And I just, one looks at the handiwork, because I've been past your store, our studios in Cape Town, are diagonally across the road from the store there. And you want to touch them, and I'm sorry I have, and I hope I haven't left greasy fingerprints on the seats.
No, but, you're welcome.
But that's the artwork of it, isn't it? I mean, that's part of the romance that you talk about, that the Dolce Vita.
Yeah, the Italians are masters at designing and just doing that magical touch.
Are Vespas still designed?
All made in Italy.
And built in Italy still?
100%, yeah.
And it's extraordinary, isn't it, that that country still does Lamborghinis, it still does the Ferrari, it still is the home of Fiat and other brands, and Vespa too.
Yes.
And who owns it? Is it a private company?
It's now listed on the Italian Stock Exchange. Industrialist Colaninno took it over. He sold privatized Telecom and the equivalent of Telecom in Italy. And he tried to buy Fiat, but that was a monopoly against him. So he bought the next thing, which was Vespa, and he's turned it around. Amazing man.
Turned it around. So was Vespa in trouble at one point?
They always made losses year on year by selling to, it's almost like a parastato. And he grabbed it, and he did three fundamental things: put air conditioning, listen to the workers, and put proper canteens in place, and the productivity went through the roof.
It's extraordinary, isn't it?
And he brought in these Telecom marketing people that knew nothing about two wheels, and the marketing was brilliant.
And they simply sold. Yeah. So you've got seven outlets in South Africa now.
Yeah.
The Durban, Cape Town, and Johannesburg. You're selling 60 to 80 a month, which is like 1,000 a year.
Yeah.
Now, are the margins good enough for everybody to make a cut on 1,000?
Yes, because you're not just selling a bike, you're selling accessories, you're selling spare parts, you're selling jackets, helmets, memorabilia. You've got beautiful...
So the brand's been extended then beyond the scooters.
So when you come into a Vespa shop, it's not a bike shop, it's a brand shop. You can get from T-shirts to wallets, all branded, iPhone covers. It's amazing products they sell.
I've been too scared to go in case I like it too much, but I will pop in. I will have a look. You're right. Your great plan. I mean, I think the last sort of turnover numbers I saw for you around 50 million rand a year, which is nice turnover. Yeah. You wanting to double it?
Yeah.
By when?
3 years.
Can you in an economy that doesn't grow?
It totally is growing. The two wheels are here to stay. We're getting gridlocked more and more, so people are being forced to consider two wheels.
I was just taking a walk around Sandton today and looking at, particularly on West Street, you've got the new Discovery building, which is enormous, being built near Inanda at the big crossroads of Catherine and Greyston. And then you've got the two big buildings going up on West Street as well. And you just think there are thousands of bodies going into those buildings, and they're going to have to get into Sandton somehow.
And with green emissions and the green footprint brigades coming in now, there's big incentives to invite your employees to come in more economical carbon footprints.
Andrew in Parkhurst, you're mad about your Vespa, are you? What grand plans do you have?
Yes, hi, how are you guys?
Hi, Andrew.
Good, nice to meet you. My name is also Andy.
Andy, what's your dream? What's your Vespa dream, your Vespa ambition?
So my Vespa dream is on a micro scale to go across South Africa, and then on a larger scale to go across Africa. I know someone from South Africa actually went from Cape Town all the way to Egypt, which is awesome. So I'm just listening to what you're saying about how people are forced to consider two wheels and so on. The traffic in South Africa is getting crazy. So my background is in digital marketing, and I honestly would love to get involved in the social media behind Vespa. I bought one only 2 months ago, the PX 150.
Beautiful.
And I've fallen completely in love with her.
And with her. She's even got a sex, which is good. Does she have a name, Andrew?
Of course, yes. She hasn't got a name yet. It's difficult. But she's very beautiful and she's blue, and I love her. And anyway, I was just looking. I've actually approached Vespa South Africa because I really wanted to get involved because the brand is there and the love is there. You know, all it takes is to drive down the street and park.
Andrew,
and they give you a little hoot.
I will ask Tikiso Andrew to take your phone number, and Andy says he will phone you, and you can at least gush together about Vespa. I mean, is it feasible to take a scooter from here to Cairo? People have done it.
I had a 66-year-old Dutch guy. He lost his wife sadly, and he scattered the ashes in Cape Agulhas, and he drove to the Cape of Finland. Took him 3 months. Did it all by himself. He wrote a beautiful book. No problem.
It's
all
glorious. It's clearly something. It's one of those things that people love and people are deeply passionate about. And he's got a big fat smile on his face. As Andy Reid, the founder of Vespa South Africa, living the dream and